Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to another edition of BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Woo-hoo! I'm Vicky Barcelona. Now, where's Rev?
Rev is on special assignment.
Very special assignment, I think for the Queen.
Oh, for the Queen?
But next to me, that voice, you may have not heard of it in a long while. A couple weeks. BJ Shea!
I am back from assignment, and my assignment was to change the world. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. And running the show, as always, changing the world, only on occasion. Joey D's.
I checked the rolled-up carpet. Rev wasn't in it, so I'm happy to report he's still somewhere.
I told you not to check the rolled-up carpet!
It was just a dookie we had to clean up.
Oh,
anywho.
Wow. Listen, the older you get, the more you...
I wasn't implying that. You went there.
That's why I told him not to check the carpet.
You know where you should go? You should go to BJ Shea's Geek Nation, because that's going to have all our podcast blogs and more! Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app. To find us. Today is going to be fun. We're going to get a review on Thor? And BJ is going to be doing some TV talk and board game talk today.
Okay.
But I do really want to get into Thor. I have not had the opportunity yet to go to the theater. I feel like we've been kind of spoiled by being able to watch movies or even pay for them and watch them at home at the same time when they get released in theaters. So going to the theater, as much fun as I know I'm going to have, it almost feels like a chore sometimes.
Yeah, I for me, it is, I have good friends who really love the Marvel movies. And one friend in general he just did not like the Thor movie. And he and I are usually lockstep when it comes to stuff. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to wait to see what other people said. And other people were like, oh, no, it's not a bad movie. Like, people were apologetic. Like, for me, if somebody doesn't like something, I will, and I really do, I'm not going to be apologetic. I'm going to go, you're high, I don't know what you're thinking of. But even the people that said they liked it really said, well, it was like, it wasn't that bad. Or, it was some good moment. And I'm like, wow, you're kind of apologetic. Maybe this movie isn't that great. And that has me going, maybe I'll just wait for it on Disney Plus. Maybe I don't need to rush out and see this.
I mean, I feel like movies have been coming out pretty quickly anyways.
That's right. They come out fast and quick.
But Joey D's took one for the team.
I saw it.
And what did you think?
It was very average.
All right. Better or worse than Doctor Strange 2?
So, it's a little worse, and the reasoning for it is Doctor Strange didn't poke as many plot holes in its own movies that Thor did. Thor really went to the extreme of, we don't really care about what's happened, we're just going to give you an entertaining side story, which was fun, unlike Doctor Strange, where I really felt like they had a story and they just didn't really tell it that well. Thor didn't really have a story, and they kind of did a lot of things that make you go, well, you couldn't have done any of this because of the last movies. Almost like someone didn't watch the other movies or cared. But the journey was still fun, and definitely, like, 100%, like, go take your kids to this kind of a movie. Like, it, for whatever reason, they thought, you know, this Thor is going to be the dad Thor. And it worked well. I mean, I give them that. I mean, I think if you like Natalie Portman's character, you like female Thor...
I actually heard she was the best part of the movie. People really didn't have a problem with her or a female being Thor. It was other stuff.
Yeah, it kind of just felt like they just time jumped a lot to fill in. Not like they time jumped like years or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They just did flashbacks and stuff to fill in the parts of the story that they couldn't tell in that short amount of time. So it was rushed, and, you know, they do a love story, and that's rushed, because Natalie Portman and Thor haven't seen each other for 8 years.
Oh,
and we
right.
know that. So yeah. It's like, well, how are they going to tell this story if we have 2 hours?
Yeah.
And then you have Gore the God Butcher, played by Christian Bale, who's the best part of the movie by a mile.
Oh.
I mean, Natalie Portman
I'm happy
on her
to hear
side.
That.
Yeah, because they're very, I mean, I don't spoil anything, but, you know. There's not a lot of Gore the God Butcher in this movie. A lot less than you would expect.
Wow. Yeah. I really, after seeing the previews, I thought he would have a big part in it. Oh,
so, like,
wow.
Based on what you're kind of telling me and what I've seen in the trailer, I'm kind of getting the idea of that episode in, Marvel... The show. What if? What if? I kept saying one shot in my head. That wasn't right. What if that episode with Thor when he becomes Party Thor? That's the vibe I'm getting. Like, this is kind of, aside from all the crap that happened at the very, very end that led to the rest of the show, or season, I kind of feel like this might be party Thor.
I actually heard people say he became dumb Thor. That's what people were saying, is like, he seems like he's a lot dumber than we remember.
Well, yeah, it's just so hard, because if you remember the Thor we left off on, it was like transformational Thor. He's gone through a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
He's kind of refound himself.
Had that great meeting with his mom when she's like, you really are in bad shape, aren't you, son? You know, in Ragnarok, which was powerful. And I figured this is going, you know, I felt like we would get a much more cool
endgame.
Endgame.
Was that Endgame?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it was Endgame. Yeah. You feel like, okay, Thor is going to be amazing.
And then you see him at the end of the thing, and he hops on the Guardian ship, right, and they leave, right? And you're like, wow, this is interesting. How is Thor going to, you know, how is he going to be portrayed now?
I have conspiracy theory.
All right.
So this is just all through Marvel in general. Since everything is broken, multiverse and everything, like, we had the Netflix shows, obviously, Daredevil and everything. We know that's not continuity. And they just announced that we're going to be getting a new Daredevil show.
Yep.
He's going to be in, like, Echo and all these other ones. And we did see Kingpin in Hawkeye. So I think they kind of either alluded or denied or whatever that this is not the same Kingpin we saw on the Netflix show. So in theory, he's a different multiverse Kingpin. So not the Netflix Kingpin. This might not be the Netflix Daredevil, but just another variation from another multiverse. So I'm wondering if this is going to be like a secret surprise in a few years, where it's like, this is similar to the Thor you knew, but he's a little different.
Oh,
like,
so
it's a different universe.
It's not
universe.
Our Thor.
It's not our Thor.
I think 616 is our universe.
Yeah.
It's not a 616 Thor?
Kind of like in Rick and Morty, where they're like, it's very similar, except in this situation.
That's a deep Easter egg, if that's true.
If it is true. This is just like
that's a long game Easter egg, I'll tell you that.
A conspiracy theory.
Hey, look,
I'm just here to, like, throw crap out there.
I watched Umbrella Academy Season 1 again, and there was a definite Easter egg in that they paid off in Season 3. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything in this movie that would be able to, like, I could throw a pin and be like, it's this universe. So there's nothing that has anything like that. So I can't deny it. But yeah, you know, the story is there. But again, so the Guardians, you know, you leave them with the Guardians. Like, what is Thor going to do? And, like, if you think about it from the standpoint of, okay, well, that's the Thor we know. And then Thor has to fall in love. They have to explain how he falls in love, and they have to introduce a bad guy you've never heard before, and you know from this preview, they got to talk to the gods.
That's a lot.
And the movie's about kids. Like, that's that, I mean,
wow.
It's, right? Like,
that's
so, like,
a lot.
So what are you going to do, right? Like, it's that
that's
they bit off a lot,
yep.
And I feel like maybe the four-hour version of this movie is probably pretty good, but the two-hour version is only okay.
You mean like the series, which would, like, a six-hour series would have been good.
Or, you know, yeah, if they wanted to. But again, it's still a fun and entertaining ride, and there are some beautiful scenes. But Christian Bale is just so good. He is an actor of our generation. It saddens me that they got him for this movie when he didn't want to do it, and they just give him very little screen time. The scenes he's in, he's clearly the best. His bad guy is amazing. Like, I wanted to see this character fully fleshed out, and you're just kind of left like, man, why is he only in this for now? Like,
well,
what happened? Like,
I think if we see a making of this movie like we assembled, it's going to be interesting to see if there was any COVID-related reasons as to why, or contract-related reasons as to why.
Or even Taika just seems to be on top of the world right now. He seems to be doing a lot of projects, so maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
He half-assed it,
So Assembled will be very interesting, which is on Disney Plus. All the Marvel movies have an Assembled, which is a behind-the-scenes of all their movies. So. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I gave this a 6. I think if you're good Marvel fan, you probably give this a 7. And that's where it landed on Rotten Tomatoes, was between a 6 and a 7.
Right.
And then, but I will say this, Taika Waititi, Chris Hemsworth, their kids are all in this movie. And they, and
you mean their kid, like their real kids?
Their real kids are in this movie.
Okay, I think that's a bit much.
It does seem like favoritism a little bit.
That's a bit much.
There is a part I remember reading where, like, in the trailer you see a kid running and then it becomes Thor as an adult, and that kid is supposed to be Chris Hemsworth's kid.
I guess I don't have a problem if that's the only time he's in the movie.
I can't spoil
anything else. But I will say, at the end of it, I was kind of like, this barely flies with me. And I also thought there was the part that's social commentary where I was like, I don't think you should be doing this right now.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's a lot. You know what? I kind of want to see it just to see it, but I don't want to pay.
But yeah, but watch it when it comes out on Disney Plus, because
I will,
and watch every scene that Christian Bale's in, and just because, like, they're shot beautifully and, like, the good, it's good action. But
I'm gonna say this, by the way, because as I told you, people seem to be apologetic. I watched Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, with my wife. She loved it, and I loved it even more the second time around. I am a fan of that movie now. You know what? The first time around when I saw it with Joey Deese, he and I were both like, eh, but I think the second time around I was able to catch more. I really like that movie a lot better than everybody else, and I will defend it to being to that like saying I think it's a quality movie. So
I think
just want to say that
the problem with like a lot of these movies and even shows is that we have such high expectations, whether quality or even how we expect the story to go. Mephisto, it's gotta be Mephisto. That kind of mentality, like, oh, we're gonna see this, this, and this, and this is gonna lead to this. It's like we need to learn to shut our brains off, especially with like a Thor movie. It's supposed
well,
to be
Thor
silly.
Well, Thor apparently shut his brain off.
Right? But like that idea, like some of these movies, you can just shut your brain off and watch them. We don't have to go and look for the deep hidden meaning, which is very hard for somebody like me, but I try to keep that in mind. So that's kind of what I think people are starting to do, kind of like you did, where you kind of, okay, I'm going into this. I already know what happened. So you're not sitting there looking or subconsciously or consciously all the little details and everything you're just enjoying.
I actually like the journey they took me on. Mm-hmm. I liked what Sam Raimi did with the movie. I love Benedict Cumberbatch's mm-hmm. Doctor Strange. And yeah, you know, and I liked Elizabeth Olsen. I did like what happened to her character. I was happy that they didn't like make her like, oh, everything's okay now after what she did in WandaVision. So I was happy about that. And, you know, and there was just some fun scenes in that for me. You know, it's not a perfect movie, but I liked it a lot better the second time around.
And I love the big old cape of corpses or whatever it was, demons. Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a good scene. Yeah, that's Sam Raimi at his best right there.
All right, we do got to move on because we have to do some TV talk.
TV talk.
Mostly DC talk.
Yeah, well, it's been a while. You know, it's been a while since both these shows wrapped up their seasons. But there was a cool, you know, bizarro world in Superman and Lois. A lot of people weren't happy because you know, it's not exactly what Bizarro is, and he was hardly even in it really. But it was basically the merging of Bizarro World, which is a square Earth, merging with a round Earth, and everybody would be merged together, and all of a sudden your version over there and your version over here would all become one, and it wouldn't be cool, and it would be filled with hate, and it was a pretty good season finale. It's my favorite show out of all the CW shows right now. I like Superman and Lois. I think it's because not only are there young kids in it, but there are also adults in it. So I have somebody I can relate to as a parent. And I think it's a lot easier than maybe some of the other CW shows.
Does it run into the Superman problem at all?
You know, they're able to fix that.
Okay.
He's a really good Superman, and there's always something that you go, this dude is not, he's going to be weakened by whatever. There's always something, and there's kryptonite everywhere, so it's pretty much like any given moment, somebody could go, Superman, I have a kryptonite popsicle. You know, and so he's not unbeatable. For some reason in every season, whether it be another Kryptonian comes along and goes, guess what there, buddy? Or if it's somebody else that comes along that has the ability to drain his power so that he's always beatable. And this Superman does seem to be more human in his own way. I it's really weird because even though he is a, you know, he's a god, he really is just a regular dude, which then goes, well, if you're a regular dude, that's what we're scared about. You have powers of God. So they explore that too, Joe. It's the best. And for me, I love what this Superman is doing.
Okay.
For that very reason. It's like, well, he's like, yeah, he's Superman. He beats everything. What's the drama?
Yeah, Justice League was on the TVs the other day, and I watched it. I just remember the hilarious line of, well, now that the Krypton kid is dead, we can go conquer the world. Oh, crap, the Krypton guy's back. Oh, we lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the Snyder Cut or okay.
The two-hour one?
Yep.
And I just laughed thinking, what a great way to really portray your Justice League. Everyone else is irrelevant. Bring back Superman.
That's, and there's a way that they're, you know, that they make him more vulnerable, which I like. He's still got everything he's got, but they still find a way to get it done. And Tyler Hoechlin does, I think, such a really, really good job. He's my favorite Superman ever. I'm sorry, Christopher Reeve. It's worthwhile. And it's still not a perfect show, but for a CW show, you know, props to them. Flash wrapped up their season, and it was confusing as all hell. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing with Flash. It's like they are running out. They have so many speedsters, they're running out of suits to design for them.
Oh, no.
I mean, really, I laughed. You know, like the latest one they had for the Harrison Wells or Eobard Thawne character, it looked like he was on steroids. You're like, what the hell is this? It's like, he looks like the Michelin Man painted black. really, it was, it was difficult for him to move. It's like, okay, this guy can't even move in this suit.
I feel like the way you're describing it makes me think of how we think of the old Doctor Who. Like when you think of the old Daleks and stuff. So in like 20, 30, 40 years, they're going to look back at the suit and kind of think the same thing. Like, really? This is what they paid for?
Yeah. I don't know if the guy's out of shape or if they're trying to make him look formidable. But like, you know, most of the suits are just regular suits that they have on and everybody's in decent enough shape to wear them. But this dude's, I mean, this suit, again, it's like the reverse Michelin Man. Still an interesting storyline. Joey would hate this show because there's so much time traveling. It's insane. You're like, wait a minute, what? Basically, there are four forces in the world or universe, and Speed Force is what Barry taps into to become the Flash. But there's like the Still Force, which means he's in charge of time. Then there's a girl who's blue power, even though she's about the Earth Force, and you figure blue's the wrong color for that. And then there's a guy who's got sort of crazy telepathy, and he's got the purple force. And so you go, none of these makes sense as to the force you are. I don't even, okay. And then there's like, you know, everybody's a speedster, so there's like all these different color streaks running around your screen.
Who has turtle power, though?
Well, then turtle power happens when they all combine.
Oh.
Which maybe Wonder Twin powers or maybe Power Ranger, I don't know.
Captain Planet Flash.
But if you like the Flash, you're like, okay, but I mean, it's been 8 seasons. So a decent season 2-part finale for the Flash, considering it's season 8. And they do have lots of episodes in a network television season. So you go, it's amazing that they have people that can make new shows, really.
I'm looking at the costume you're talking about. The mask itself, not the whole costume, but it reminds me of Shaq. Do you remember that movie he was in, Steel?
Yes.
He looks just like, the face looks just like it.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that
yeah.
Weird kind of bubble. Oh, no. Yeah, don't write.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah,
nope.
It's, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's. So that was. But you know, look, if you're a fan of The Flash, you probably loved it. And my daughter and I love laughing at the show. And then something happened at the end. Oh my God. Caitlin, who is also, early this season, we lost Killer Frost.
Mm-hmm.
She died. And Caitlin couldn't get over it because it's kind of like her twin sister-ish kind of lady. So she's trying to bring her back in a cryogenic chamber that the guys won't. Her boyfriend, Killer Frost's boyfriend, had one job: watch the chamber. And of course, what does he do? He falls asleep, and there's a malfunction, and we hear the voice of, it seems like Caitlin, who says, "I'm a friend," but probably isn't.
Ooh.
And they're like, who's going to take the place of the bad guy? Because there has to be balance in the forces. And all of a sudden we go to Caitlin and this whole thing, and you're like, oh, is she going to be a new bad guy person again? And oh, well, at least maybe her powers will be useful, because whenever a bad guy turns good, their powers are no longer useful.
Hmm.
Always have a backup generator.
Yes.
You know, come on. When are they going to figure that out?
I it's so funny. This guy's like, when did he qualify to be able to build one of these things in the first place?
I have a backup generator for an AC unit. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You're trying, Joey, to keep a bad guy frosted.
If you really have a problem with plot holes, you need to watch the CW shows, and you will appreciate every movie that's ever been done.
I'll start my own TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Poking holes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That'd be so good. But I feel like you need to do, like, poking holes in shows, because poking holes mean something else.
That's whoops.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
All right. Thank you so much, BJ. We were out of time. We'll do board games some other time. So let's get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right. Well, sorry, I kind of forgot Rev's not here. I'm missing Rev.
Oh, are you?
A little bit.
Oh, I didn't even know he was gone.
What is this?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
He's
hey,
on assignment.
Oh.
Hello.
Quick thing, I recently posted this on Facebook. If you can go scroll back and see it, because it's still blowing my mind. Two things I learned this week about Uno, the game Uno. I know you guys maybe, you know, put your nose up at Uno, but Uno is still one of my favorite.
Oh, it's a classic
card games.
And wait, and I know you're a fan. You say you've learned some new things about Uno?
Yes. So at the very end, when you're playing, you know, like you get to the end of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you take the deck, you reshuffle if no one's won, and start again.
Yes.
Apparently, Uno has confirmed that you can end the game if your final card is an action card.
Oh. When the deck runs out?
That's what I'm understanding from this.
Oh, so in other words, when the deck runs out, if you only have one card left in your hand and it's an action card, not a number card, like a draw four, draw two, skip. Those are action cards.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just go, ha ha, deck is out. My one card is an action card. Game over. I never knew that rule. That yeah. would save a lot of time.
But another thing was Una also confirms that you cannot stack plus fours or plus twos.
What?
That is the way. That is our house rule.
I didn't know that that like, was a rule. How did you guys miss those rules?
Did you guys stack them
all the time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you got a plus plus two and you you put in a plus four and then the next person has to draw six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, that is not the way the game was supposed to play. They're not supposed to be stacked.
Oh.
Probably makes sense on why the game goes so long.
Yeah.
Now it all makes sense. Look at that. Both those rules would make it a shorter game.
I also, I think, what was it? I read somewhere that if you suspect somebody of having a wild card in their hand and you call them out, then they have to draw a certain amount of cards.
Is that in the rules or just the house rule?
I think it was in the rules.
What? Oh, I've never heard
but
of that.
But I don't remember
that. Either, man. I mean, I usually read rule books, but I guess Uno's one of those games where it gets taught to you. And if it's taught to you a certain way, like Monopoly, you're just playing it. And then you find out all these years you've been playing it wrong.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it was one of those, I think I read it as a kid and I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want that rule. So I just kind of kept it to myself.
See, this is what happens. This is why you need a rules lawyer all the time in your life.
And if you really want to have fun, do the Uno attack where you push the button.
Yeah.
Because you make it zero cards when you need a draw or you make it 10.
Yeah. How do you win if you get 10?
Wow. It's very difficult, but it is still possible.
All right.
I very much recommend it. But one of my also favorite things, besides memes and learning things on the internet about Uno, is Easter eggs. And apparently, BoardPanda.com came out with a bunch of hidden, slipped-in Easter eggs and hidden details that we may have not caught.
Oh, really?
Did you guys ever watch the movie Shutter Island?
You know what? I wanted to, and for some reason, it was never free.
Mm.
So I'm kind of like, I'm at that stage where like I have so many services and things and cables and streaming services. When I go, how is my movie that I want to watch not available? And I get real mad and go, I will not pay the $2.99, which is nothing, to watch this movie.
That was me with, was it Knives Out recently? I wanted to watch it and I couldn't find it anywhere and I refused to pay for it.
I got lucky that I was able to see that for free. So what about Shutter Island? Is this not going to mean anything if I haven't seen it?
Is it okay if I spoil it?
Well, I think
I'm like,
somebody,
if you're still going to watch it?
Somebody's on an island and I think they get shuttered. No.
Joe?
Okay. No, I've already know. I already got spoiled, though. That's why I didn't end up watching it.
Okay. So, do you care, BJ? Yes or no?
No, go right ahead.
This movie did come out in 2010.
Did you watch it?
No, it got spoiled for me, too.
Like,
it's supposed to be more of a scary horror movie. The idea is that Leonardo DiCaprio's character is a detective. He's trying to figure out this thing. And at the very end, you know,
he's not a detective,
twist.
Is he?
No, he was an insane asylum.
Yeah.
He was a mental patient.
I love that because we've seen that before and they made a whole movie. Because I heard that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, I've seen that in like shows. But like they made a whole movie based on this premise.
Yeah. And I think it turned out like Mark Ruffalo might have been his doctor, but he was like another detective, I think. But apparently the little tidbit, if you noticed, in Shutter Island, every time Leonardo DiCaprio smokes in the film, he gets a cigarette lit by someone else. This shows he was a patient because mental patients are not allowed to have matches.
Oh, that's definitely a deep cut.
Yeah, like, I mean, maybe they give the patient cigarettes, depending on what time period it was. Obviously not now. But that makes a lot of sense. Like, you can have the cigarette, you just can't have the matches.
I would never have caught that, but that's pretty clever.
Yeah, I give him credit.
This one I did catch. Because I've seen this movie a million times, Shrek 2.
Yes, what happened there?
In 2004, it comes out. There's a whole scene where they're kind of doing a cops thing where he's running away from cops. Like, he's running away on a Bronco, a white Bronco. And it was literally a white horse.
Ah.
But then the guards grab them and, like, pin them down instead of pepper spray, because obviously there wouldn't be pepper spray. They get a pepper mill, like the old-fashioned pepper mill, and just grind it into his face.
That's pretty funny.
Pepper spray.
Okay. I go for that. I think I know what they were trying to do.
We've talked about this, or if you caught it in Deadpool 2, one of the rednecks at the beginning talking about toilet paper was actually Matt Damon.
Yes.
With all the prosthetic makeup. I love it when they get actors, like big name actors in these projects. Like, you know, they were only in it for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was just because they wanted to, or for funsies.
Daniel Craig, the stormtrooper that Rey controls to get out of her harness. And of course, Simon Pegg plays the dude handing out all the food to people
to
like Rey,
and
to all the scrappers. Yeah.
Do you guys watch The Joker?
The movie The Joker?
Yes.
Yes, I did. It's been a while, but I saw it.
So there's something to keep an eye out next time you do watch it, because if you look at the ambulances of Gotham's show, they actually show his transformation to become the Joker. So regular ambulance will just have a straight line on the back. So you have the two windows and then a straight red line, like most ambulances do. But later you see an ambulance with the blue stars that mean like the medical thing in the windows. And then instead of a straight line, it looks like a crooked smile.
Oh, what?
So to keep an eye out.
Oh, that's awesome.
I totally missed that. I know it's a visual thing, but I really want you guys, if you watch it again, to keep an eye out for
this. That's pretty clever. So it's the back doors of the ambulance,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like a straight line going across the back of the doors, mm-hmm. and the windows don't have anything in them. And then the windows are like the eyes, mm-hmm. with the two blue sort of like
starry type things. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the crooked smile, which is the crooked red line.
Mm-hmm.
That is very clever. I missed that.
Oh, yeah. Me too. 100%.
Were you a Disney kid when you were a kid? Joe?
Slightly, I think Aladdin was your movie. Aladdin, Jungle Book.
Hercules?
Yeah, I think I saw Hercules, the animated one.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. Like, when it came out, of course, we watched the crap out of it because we had the VHS. But it came out in 1997. There is a part where Hades, who was played by, James Woods.
Oh, wow. How about Jimmy really helped?
Yes, thank you. Hades says, "Guys, relax. It's only halftime." At exactly the 46-minute mark, which is the halfway point of the 92-minute movie.
That's clever.
Wow.
It's kind of like the whole, like, if everybody who figured out, was it Loki and WandaVision at a certain time point of the series, was at the exact same time, like, all the multiverse crap was happening. People actually sat there and figured it out.
I don't know how you would know to do that either.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, I love that they go that deep. And they go that deep, and that's where you got to give some appreciation if you're the nitpicker of the nitpickers. Like, look, dude, they do this for you. They don't do this for anybody else.
I do got two more that I really want to get to.
All right, Dan.
One I've already brought up, but I don't think you were here for this. So in Men in Black, do you remember those weird little alien, the skinny ones that were always smoking?
Oh, yeah, those dudes.
So apparently the alien language that they speak to each other was actually the same language that Jabba the Hutt speaks in Star Wars. It's called Huttese.
Oh, so it is Huttese.
Yes. So the little alien guys actually speak the same language as Jabba the Hutt.
All right. You think I would have picked that up, maybe just because they weren't, I think they had higher pitched voices.
Yes, I was going to say, it's not the same tone.
Yeah, but still, you're
all talking at once, too. You don't really hear Hutts ever talking over each other.
Yeah.
And all those little aliens are always like,
That's very clever.
You have to have a really good ear to figure that out.
Yeah, very, very clever.
And the last one I do want to get to. So Steven Spielberg actually really wanted to direct a Bond film, but Eon Studios said no. So when he told George Lucas this, they decided to create Indiana Jones. And during a scene in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, there's a part where Indiana Jones is dressed exactly as James Bond in like a white tux, black bow tie, and a red flower in his pocket.
Oh, look at that. Yes.
I would not have caught that.
I remember that, and my brain didn't make the connection, but I thought it looked familiar. I'm like, that is a familiar look, but I couldn't figure out what it was, and it's Bond.
Yep, that was basically, they created Indiana Jones. We're going to make our own guy, you know.
That's cool.
With less hookers and blackjack, actually.
Right. Otherwise, it's the same,
yes. Well, let us know if you guys have any other hidden Easter eggs that you've caught that maybe somebody else didn't catch. And until next time, stay nerdy.